Let's go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach God's word when the Lord gives opportunity. And even if it is when the pastor's gone, you know, when the pastor's gone, that's sometimes when the cat's away, the mice do play. So you really find out who's faithful, right? Because you're here at church even when the pastor's gone. That's a good thing. And appreciate seeing you tonight. Mark chapter 5 is just a simple story and really a simple message that I felt like this was the thing for tonight, as best I could tell from the Lord. And just a simple message, but I think an encouragement about the demoniac of Gadara here. And something I appreciate about the ministry of the Lord Jesus is his demon stories. I don't know if you ever had, when you're sitting around maybe at night on the back porch or in the living room, and somebody starts telling demon stories, and it's scary, you know, a little spooky, and, you know, the hair in the back of your neck stands up a little bit, and then someone tells a story, and the next person has a scarier story, you know, and then the next person, they top that a little bit, and eventually it's all too spooky, and you got to go inside or something, you know. And something I love about the stories of Jesus, all of his demon stories, they ended really well, and they weren't scary. He got rid of the demons, you know. And this is one of those stories, I think it can be encouraging to us, and really a story of victory, where the Lord took care of the demons. In Mark 5, starting in verse 1, we'll read through the passage, then pray, and then look at some thoughts taken from the passage. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Can we pray? Lord, this evening, for these few moments, Lord, will you please open our hearts to the truth of your word, and Lord, thank you for stories like these in the Bible that just encourage us with your power, your ability, what you can do in people's lives, and Lord, even our responsibility in turn. And Lord, I pray that you would just encourage us tonight. Give us something that we can take with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to get into the passage in just a moment, but I forgot to tell you what happened in Chicago with our Evangelist America team, and so I'm going to tell you real quick. So we were in South Chicago last week, and we had our family and a couple guys, a small team, and we were helping a Hispanic church there who is trying to start an English ministry nearby their church. And so we went up to help them. And it's the same area that the Juaniacs grew up in, I think, right? Western and 47th, 51st, 55th, those areas. war zone now, although it is getting better. It's I think the neighborhood's transitioning, but it's a pretty rough area. And I was kind of scared to go to Chicago, honestly, to spend some time there. We stayed right in that area, and there was a pretty nice neighborhood that we stayed in, but stayed in the basement of a home. And we worked with this church. I tell you what, this church was so encouraging to me. They have prayer meetings Monday through Friday every night in their church building. And different families of their church come and pray. They'll pray from 6 to 7, and then another shift from 7 to 8 every night, Monday through Friday. And then on Saturdays, I think they might have a prayer meeting as well for the men or something. And so they do a lot of prayer in their services that are about 2 hours long or so. They'll have at least a quarter, 25% of the service is prayer. They pray as a church together. And just a lot of praying together. They fast. They take it very seriously. For about 2 months in the year, they fast like once a week. They'll take 1 day a week and fast and pray. And they're just very serious about what God's doing and burdened for that area. The pastor, he's from Guatemala, and he has a ministry, the Save Illinois campaign. And so they're burdened for Chicago, but then they also go out into the 102 counties in Illinois, and they'll drive for hours to get to this county. They'll visit, give the gospel for a couple hours, and drive back to Chicago. Very earnest, special people that really, to me, it looks like God sent missionaries to America. And just all these people there that are burdened for America, when they went out soul winning, they have a church of maybe 150 to 200 people. They had, I don't know the exact number, it was between 60 and 80, somewhere, 60 and 80 people at their church out soul winning. And we joined them, the three of us men. We joined them, and I don't think they needed us, but we were encouraged by them and hopefully encouraged them. But over the time of their campaign, which I don't know yet whether it was just last week or the last week and the week before, they saw 100 people get saved. And it was exciting to be so inspiring. Just when God's people, I mean, they prayed up, they fasted, they begged the Lord, and they went out in mass and gave the gospel. And they don't necessarily do door-to-door. Everything is gated, wrought iron gates, bars. You can't really get to the doors unless it's unlocked. I don't know what would happen if you got inside the gate, but some of them have dogs, I noticed that. But we didn't go door-to-door visitation, but there's people everywhere, you know, bus stops, and so just thousands of people everywhere. And so there was always somebody to give a tract to or connect with, and so God really moved in a special way. So thank you for your prayers. God's doing something there really special. They're starting a Christian school, end of August, in one of their church properties, and so that's something good going on. They're trying to start this English ministry to the English-speaking people there. And God gave us three English-speaking people that came. And so, well, one of them was a baby. I don't know if he speaks English yet. But he will speak English. And so three people. Everyone else was Hispanic. But God gave some connection there. So thank you for your prayers. Okay, so there's the testimony. Now back to the story here. I just want to draw your attention to this thought that Jesus gave the man who he had delivered. He said, go home to your friends. And I want to start off by looking at this man's past and reminding us, every one of us has a past. Sometimes we don't want to think of our past. Sometimes we think of our past, and some of it's good, some of it's bad, but everyone has a past. Think of this man's past. If you look at Mark 5 in the first verses there, in verse 2, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. The spirit inside this man was a wicked demon spirit. It was an unclean spirit. He dwelt among the tombs. He lived in the cemetery. That was this man's life. He lived in the cemetery, in the tombs. That was his shelter, getting in with the bones to have a place of respite from the storms. It says that no man could bind him. He was uncontrollable. Often bound. No man could bind him, no, not with chains. He'd been often bound with fetters and chains. Fetters were like shackles for the feet, often made of brass. He was bound with these brass shackles, but he couldn't be bound because he would break them. He'd break them in pieces. No man could tame him. That was his life, an uncontrollable, crazy man. He was constantly distressed. Here in the scripture, it says in verse 5, always, night and day, he was crying. Can you imagine that? You know, you're in the quiet oriental setting, and you're trying to go to sleep with your kids, and you have your shutters closed, and you hear this man, a man's voice, just crying out, yelling, screaming. You know, being up in Chicago, you see a lot of people, and you see some people that are under the influence, and, you know, they're not really acting properly, and one of our guys got charged by one of them. He thought he was going to get hit. He didn't get hit, praise the Lord. But sometimes they do crazy things, you know, and uncontrollable, just out of their mind, we say. That was this man crying. It says he was cutting himself with stones. He was despairing even of life. Probably he was suicidal. He was trying to take his own life, cutting himself. That was this man's past. He had a name that went with a lifestyle. He called himself Legion, for we are many. A legion was a Roman regiment that could have various numbers of up to 6,000 soldiers in the regiment. And I think from the story here, it was at least 2,000 demons, because there were 2,000 swine that the demons entered into and ran violently down a steep place into the sea. From the scripture, we don't see that demons are, they can't be in more than one place at a time. So probably there was one demon in each pig, at least one demon in each pig. So at least 2,000 demons in this man. Legion, for we are many. That was his name. This was his past. And just to remind us, every one of us has a past. I would say probably most of us don't have a past quite like this man. There are some who do have a past like that. But all of us have a past. Secondly, I want us to notice, all of us need a deliverer. Whatever our past was, we needed a deliverer. Here we see in verse 6, when he saw Jesus afar off. There came a time for this man that he saw Jesus. And really, if you think about it, this story, this is the really the apex of the story. When he saw Jesus, Jesus describes to us, the scripture describes to us his past, what he, the kind of life he was living, the horrible situation he was in. But when he saw Jesus afar off, remember when you first saw Jesus? I can remember the day I was 6 years old, and I came to the Lord. It was very simple for me. I didn't understand a whole lot. I knew I needed the Lord, and I came to Jesus. And I kind of remember being on my bike as a little boy and just having that great lighthearted experience after I had gotten saved, but just that knowledge that I'm clean before the Lord. That was a wonderful thing when I saw Jesus. For this man, he saw Jesus. He saw him in person. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. A couple things about this. He said in verse 7, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. To adjure means to urge or request solemnly or earnestly. He earnestly asked God, don't torment me. He didn't want torment. He wanted deliverance. This man had been living in torment. And of course, he knew what it was like to be controlled by demons and the horrific life that they caused him to live. And he asked the Lord Jesus, don't torment me. In verse 8, we see that Jesus answered the cry of his heart. The cry of his heart was, don't torment me. But what he really needed was deliverance. In verse 8, he said, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. That was the turning point for him. In verse 15, we read it. Later on, they, those that fed the swine, the locals of the area, they came to Jesus, they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. He was sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. You've probably thought about this before, but this man that used to be running around, he was cutting himself, he had no clothes on, he was sitting. And that's probably an interesting thing. Like, that guy knows how to sit down. He's sitting. And he was clothed. That'd be a different sight. I don't know if you have neighbors like this or people that you know that you often see them not clothed, you know, not wearing enough clothes. And you see them with clothes on, like, hey, they look pretty sharp with clothes on, you know. I have a neighbor like that. That's why I know. Wow, they look pretty sharp with clothes on. Here's this guy sitting and clothed and in his right mind. There's someone I can think of in my neighborhood that every time basically I talk with this guy, he seems like he's not in his right mind. Basically every time. He's nice. Thankfully, he's a nice guy, even when he's not in his right mind. But he doesn't seem to be in his right mind. But here he was sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. You know why? Because he'd been delivered. Aren't you thankful that there was a day that the Lord delivered you? And you might not have had the same life as this man did in this story, but you've been delivered. And no matter what it was for you, your testimony, you've been delivered. For me, I was a 6-year-old boy. And I hadn't had the opportunity to do very much sinning, okay, like this man had. But I was delivered. I went from going to hell to going to heaven. I passed from death unto life. I was delivered from the penalty of my sin forever. And really, I was delivered from many things that could have happened in my life had I not seen Jesus. I was delivered. You've been delivered. So everyone has a past. Everyone needs a deliverer. And then I see in this passage that everyone should long to follow Jesus. Look at verses 17 and 18. So those that fed the swine, they lost their living when they went into the water and were choked. They lost their whole herd of swine, which was their money, and they began to pray him or to ask Jesus to depart out of their coast. Jesus, would you go ahead and just leave now? And you think humanly it makes sense why they wanted Jesus to leave. You just ruined our economy. Would you please leave? Yeah, we see what you did with that guy, but we didn't care about him anyways. You just ruined our living. And they asked him to leave. And when he, Jesus, was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. And just bear with me a minute, but just think about this picture. Here are the ships, small boats that will go across the sea, and Jesus is going into the ship, and he's walking across the dock to climb into the ship, and maybe he said goodbye to folks, and they've just asked him to leave. It's not really the best goodbye ceremony. They really asked him to leave, and so he's leaving, and he's walking across the dock to get into the boat, just Jesus doing his normal walk, and there's this man who he had just delivered. And this man, Jesus is leaving. His life has just been changed. He looks different. He thinks differently. His whole life is different. His heart is different. And Jesus is leaving. And you can imagine this man following Jesus toward the boat and maybe grabbing Jesus. Hey, hey, hey. And Jesus turns around. And this man asks Jesus, can I go with you? Can I go with you? Which is an interesting question because there were many that followed Jesus that Jesus had tapped on their shoulder or had walked by as they were mending their nets. And he said, follow me, and I'll make you something. I'll make you to be fishers of men. And those men, they recognized who Jesus was or that there was something special about Jesus, and they left everything to follow Jesus. And this man, he didn't wait for Jesus to say, hey, follow me. He asked Jesus, can I go with you? Everyone should long to follow Jesus. We can get there sometimes too. You've probably had this. We have a special time with the Lord. You ever had one of those prayer times that you just get very real with the Lord and you're just talking to the Lord? You're pouring out your heart to the Lord. And the Christian life is not all about warm, fuzzy feelings, but once in a while, when you're just having a good time with the Lord, it can get warm and fuzzy. You know what I mean? You could have a good time with the Lord. You're praying and you're talking and you're just opening yourself up to the Lord and you're surrendered to the Lord and you're enjoying your time with the Lord and it's almost like God's listening to you praying, you know, and you're just, maybe you read passage of scripture and it just really gripped your heart and you're in that time with the Lord and it's almost like you don't want to leave. It's good. Lord, I just want to stay here. I remember when I was a teenager, there was a church that had a real spiritual impact, and the Lord used that church in my life, and it was in a different state, and I remember having this desire. I just want us to move and go up to that place and be at that church and go to that church and live up there and be around that place. It was such a special place, you know. I remember when I was a camp counselor in West Virginia, and I was there for our time at camp and had such a blast as a counselor at camp. Takes everything out of you, all of the energy you possibly could have. It's all gone at the end of the time. But I was so attached to that place. I would have stayed there just for the rest of the year or whatever, you know, I would have just stayed there. It was great. I just wanted to stay. I don't want to go home. But it was over, and we had to go home. And it was run by a Vietnam veteran Marine. He wasn't going to let me stay. Get out of here, you know. But I wanted to stay. And sometimes we can be in the place where God has moved and God's worked and God's worked in our heart and things have changed for us. And that was the case for me as a counselor at camp. God had worked in my heart and I'd gotten some things right with the Lord and you know, had grown. And sometimes we want to stay. But what was Jesus' answer? Verse 19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. He didn't let him. He suffered him not. But saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Sometimes God says, I appreciate you want to be with me, but I have a job for you to do. Now we have the promise of God, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And sometimes we can feel like the Lord's not with us, but he's promised that he is with us. Everywhere we go, he's with us. But sometimes we want to be in that special place and that we think of as the presence of God, and I want to be there. And God says, I have a job for you. And it's to go home. We should long to follow Jesus and be with Jesus and be in the presence of God and in the wherever the Lord's moving the most, be right in that spot. But I would say often, Jesus would say to us, go home. I have a job for you. There's someone I want you to talk to. Some things about home. Home is a place of history, isn't it? You have a history at home. Now, some of us, we don't like our history at home. Have you ever looked at pictures of when you were young? And you're like, why did they let me do my hair like that? You know? For some reason, when I was younger, I had this, I thought this looked good. I would take my hair and I would smash it all down, like all in the front. And I have a cowlick, if you haven't noticed. When I was born in a barn, and I'm just kidding. But I have this cowlick, and so I would try to, like, fix my hair. I would wear a hat in the morning to pack it down. I mean, I was crazy about my hair, and it looked horrible. I just didn't know it then. Looking at pictures later, that was horrible. And guess what? My parents and siblings, my friends back then, they knew me. They knew me then. The things I used to do when I was a teenager, I can think back on and like, oh man, what a dude. Yeah, they know that. They were there. I remember my siblings, when I was about 12 years old, my siblings, they noticed a problem with me. Evidently, I was, you know, very conceited and probably small man syndrome on steroids. You know, 12-year-old small man syndrome. I don't know if it can get worse than that, a 12-year-old boy. But anyways, that was me. I was completely blind to it. My siblings noticed it, and I guess I was a proud little guy, and I didn't even know it, but they did. And now I can't do anything about that. That's just what it was, and they knew me then. It's a place of history. All those embarrassing stories that people can tell about you, yep, they're all true, and they know it. It's a place of history. Because it's a place of history, though, it's a place of opportunity. Go tell your friends. Go home and tell your friends. Who else in the world would know sometimes the change that happened in your life than those who were your friends, those who knew you? Sometimes it's not just that they knew you and saw a change. Sometimes it's just that you have a relationship with them. You have an opportunity because of your relationship with them. There are connections that you have with your neighbors, with your coworkers, that no one else in this room has or ever will have. The influence that you have on people that no one else in the whole world has, you have it. You have that place of opportunity. You have that relationship of opportunity. The person that you eat at the diner with or have breakfast with or see at the gas station every week or you golf with or whatever, you have that opportunity. You do. And Jesus told this man, go home to thy friends and tell them. Home was a place of history. It's a place of opportunity. Home is a place of responsibility. This is kind of goes without saying, but because they know you, because you have the opportunity, it's your responsibility. Go home to thy friends. You have a job to do with the people that you know. I remember a time when I was a teenager, and I had a step cousin. He'd kind of entered the family, and we'd gotten a little bit of a relationship. And there was a time when I had a sense from God, like, you need to reach out to your cousin. And for whatever reason, I was so scared to do it. And I waited and waited and put that off and put that off. And I honestly still to this day don't know whether I missed the opportunity that God and the time frame that God was working in the guy. I don't even know. Finally, I sent him a letter with a tract or gave him the gospel somehow. Finally. And I hope that the Lord used that. And I think he could have used it. But for me, it was more of a, I don't necessarily want to. I'm scared to do this. I dragged my feet. I hope when I get to heaven one day, it won't be, you missed the opportunity. We have a responsibility. And sometimes God will put something on our heart. Hey, talk to this person. Give this person the gospel. Tell them your story. We have a responsibility. So he says to tell his friends. In verse 20, it says, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. He obeyed. He simply obeyed. Jesus said, go home. He simply obeyed. He just went. And he published. I like the word publish. Okay, let's think about the word publish. This is Wednesday night. We're thinking about words, okay? So publish has the idea of to prepare and issue information. So to prepare. If you publish a book, you're preparing it. It goes through all the revisions, the reviews. You prepare it, and then you issue it. You get a bunch of books, you sell it on Amazon or whatever, you publish and you issue it. You prepare and issue it. It's to think through it and then tell it. And he began to publish his story. He thought through it and he told it. Jesus in verse 19 says, go home to thy friends. Tell them what? How great things the Lord hath done for thee. And secondly, and hath had compassion on thee. Tell what Jesus has done for you and that he loves you, that he loved you. He showed compassion on you even when you were in a very ugly state. And he went about and he published it. He got a story together and he told it. He went around and just told everybody. I want to submit to you that your story is very powerful. Doesn't matter what your story is. If you've been delivered by Jesus, your story is very powerful. I was talking to a man in Iowa. He was probably in his early 70s, nicest guy, kept coming to the meetings. He was a great born-again man. And at some point, he told me his testimony. And he had been a good man, a nice guy. And his wife was a Christian. And I guess she was kind of working on him and telling him he needed to be saved. But he didn't really think he needed to be saved. He was a good guy. He was a nice guy. And talking to the guy, you could see this guy lived a nice life. He was a good man, probably since he was a kid. He was just a nice guy. But he was jogging one day, and John 3:16, he was thinking John 3:16, and God used that to just grip his heart that he needed to be saved. And he got saved. God used John 3:16 while he was jogging, and he got saved. Okay, very simple story. I'm telling you what, though. He told me that story, and it excited me so much to hear that story. And it was like, man, we need to get this guy to tell his testimony. This is a great story. And it was simple. Nothing super fancy about it. No tears. He didn't fall on his knees and crying and crawled his way home and opened the door and told his wife. None of that. None of that. Just simple. But it was great to hear. Some other people, they have a very fantastic story with all of these elements and this and that and the other. A great story. My dad, he's here tonight. I love his salvation story. I've heard it 50 million times. Now I tell his story. Well, that when he's not even there. I tell his testimony because I think it's great. And it connects with people. He's got a great story. My story, I was 6 years old. It's simple. It's really simple. But I think I've got a good story. And you do too. Your story is great. And you can think it through and you can publish it. How great things Jesus has done for you and has had compassion on you. And you know when you and I get excited about our story, this is what Jesus has done for me. And you tell somebody, and you're truly excited about your story, that is going to have an impact. I think sometimes we appreciate the Lord. We love what Jesus has done for us, but we're not so good at being excited about it. If we really thought about it, we could get excited about it. Hey, let me encourage you, think about it. Think it through. Prepare it and issue it. Tell your story. Think through the gospel in your story. You can tell your testimony and be really generic. Or you can tell your testimony and infuse into the story the gospel. Because the gospel was present in your testimony. If you got saved, the gospel was part of your story. So go ahead and tell your story and put the gospel in there, what Jesus did for you. So the people hearing your story, they get the gospel through your story. And at the end of your story, they can do the same thing. They can receive the Lord Jesus Christ. They can be convicted of sin even through your story. Prepare it and tell it. I encourage you to write it out. If you've never written it out, write it out. And if you type it out, write it out and then post it. Hey, get it out. It's a good story. If Jesus did something for you, it's a good story. Find a way to get out and get it out. God's going to use your story. He did here. Look at the end of verse 20. And all men did marvel. You know what they said? Whoa. Wow. That's crazy. This guy. Wow. And it wasn't just like, hey, did you hear what happened? And it was just a... No, it was marvel. It was marvelous. It was wonderful. Wow, look what happened to this man. This guy had been possessed with 2,000 demons, and Jesus changed his heart and his life. All men did marvel. Whoa. Wow. Hey, would you let God do that with your story? It might not be as fantastic as that guy, but God can use your story. And if just this evening we said, you know, Jesus is telling us, go home, we can kind of take that and apply it to ourselves, and whatever that means, our neighbors or our family members or our coworkers or someone that God puts on your heart and mind that you have a relationship with, tell them what great things God has done for you. If you're sitting there and like, I don't know if God's done anything great for me, hey, take a minute and think about it with the Lord. If you've never been saved, get saved. If you need help with that, talk to somebody who can explain that to you. Trust the Lord. So that you can have a story of deliverance, because if you don't have a story of deliverance, you need it. And if you've ever trusted in Jesus Christ, you have a story of deliverance. Think it through and issue it. My friend Jared Boyd, some of you know him, knew the name. He got cancer when he was, I guess, 17, and went to Peyton Manning Children's Hospital, and he fought that really hard. Great guy. He and I were good friends. Fought that really hard for maybe 3 years, and he went through the chemo and lost his hair. He went through everything, you know. And when he was about 20, 21, nothing was working, and he was going to go home to be with the Lord. And at some point there, he wrote out his story. And of course, he included his cancer story in that, and he wrote it in a form that could be used as a gospel tract. And many of you have probably seen that tract. It's about this big. It's nice graphics. Has a picture of him with no hair. Good-looking guy. And it says, my story. And he wrote out his story. And I remember visiting him, I think maybe the day before he went to heaven. And, you know, he's just a great spirit about him. He wasn't concerned about going into eternity. I think he wanted a picture together, so we got a picture together. And he went to be with the Lord. And someone else finished his story. He didn't get to finish his story because there was more to it when he went to be with the Lord. But his story was given out, printed. It's still available. It's still being used. And I contacted his dad recently. He was my pastor at the time. And he's now a pastor in Florida, has been for years. And contacted him recently, just asked him, like, how many people do you know of that have gotten saved? I guess people that have, you know, let them know they've gotten saved because of his story. Okay, this is almost too hard to believe, so the number he gave me, at least 6,000 people. I'm kind of a skeptical person, you know. Sometimes I'm like, did they really get saved, you know? 6,000, I don't know. I don't know if they really got saved. But I do know that when people tell their story, like the man here in this passage, all men did marvel. I know my friend Jared. In his spirit with the Lord, he was a special guy with a special story. And the Lord's used his story. Hey, God can use your story. It doesn't have to be so dramatic and so, you know, like my friend Jared's or like the man of the Gadarenes. But let God use your story. Lord, I pray that tonight you just work in our hearts and Lord, maybe there's one person you'd put on our heart that we would tell our story to them. Lord, help us to prepare and issue, think it through, and tell it. And Lord, use it in a great way for us to see other people be delivered just like you've delivered us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.